Blessed Virgin Mary, and Jesus to the world through the seer Veronica Lucas. Today is Saturday, June 18th, the 13th anniversary of Our Lady's coming to Bayside in the year of our Lord, 1983. We are at the Vatican Pavilion grounds, Flushing Meadow Park, Flushing, Long Island, New York.
There are the most beautiful white and blue lights coming from within the trees. They are going upward, high over Our Lady's statue's head. I would say that the lights range at least 20 feet above Our Lady, coming from the tip of a tree. Now, directly over Our Lady's statue, the sky is opening up, and it's the most beautiful color of blue. And directly in the center of the blue light, circular light, I can see Our Lady coming down. She's hurrying. She's coming fast, most swiftly. Our Lady is looking all about her. She is so beautiful tonight. She's always beautiful, but Our Lady is really something to explain that in human language would be almost impossible. But she has on a pure white gown, and it's a little breezy up there because the gown is rustling back and forth with the wind. Our Lady has on sandals. They're golden sandals, and on each foot I can see a small bird rose, a rosette, a tiny rose. And Our Lady has on a mantle, pure white, with gold trim around the outside edging. The trim is about a good three-quarters of a yard, not a yard, three-quarters of one ounce of gold, Our Lady's trying to tell me now. I often wondered if her trimming was really gold or just something sewed on to simulate gold. No, Our Lady says, my child, this is pure gold. I say this not with pride, but to allow you to know that the secrets of heaven. Now Our Lady is looking all about her. She's taking from her waist. When she came down, Our Lady had her hands folded like this, together. And now she's taking from about her waist. There's a sash of deep blue, a beautiful blue, and Our Lady's taking her rosary from about her waist. Now the rosary has the golden Our Fathers and the most beautiful white Hail Marys that, as Our Lady turns back and forth, all the colors of heaven, most beautiful, that even an artist couldn't paint on earth, the colorings and the colors that Our Lady's setting forth by taking her rosary and holding it out like this. Now Our Lady is taking the golden crucifix, a most beautiful gold, and Our Lady is turning to her right, our left, and making the sign of the cross. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Our Lady is looking all about her with a smile. She has a very soft, sweet smile. Oh, so beautiful. And Our Lady is floating over. As I told you, they don't walk. They're just carried like on the wind. They just float. They're weightless. That must explain it. It's one of the mysteries of heaven. They're weightless. And as Our Lady's going across now, she stops directly above her statue, oh, about 15 feet. And she's now looking about her and raising the crucifix again and making the sign of the cross. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now Our Lady is looking over completely to her left. But now she's moving. Our Lady has gone now above her statue, far above our statue, and cutting across until she's standing just on the tips of the trees to the right side, where the dense trees are, and just above the Vatican flag. Now Our Lady is looking all about her, and the wind is catching her mantle. Now she's coming over again back to her place above her statue. Now Our Lady is putting the rosary back into her sash, so I'll always remember how to tie it. Our Lady is putting it back onto her sash, and now Our Lady has placed her hands together in prayer like this, and she's now motioning with her finger. She has a very dainty fingers, and just every piece of Our Lady, every bit of her, is perfection. Heaven has created a most beautiful mystical perfection. That is what Jesus called it one time, a beautiful mystical perfection of Our Lady. Now Our Lady is placing her first finger to her lips. My child and my children, our hearts are lifted to a great degree by the show of love and humanity here this evening. My child, we have started a little late on your calendar to start giving out all messages that pertain to the future of Rome. I know you are all wondering of the safety of John Paul II while he travels about to gather the sheep. I assure you, my children, we are gathering all the prayers for your vicar, and there is a balance above him. This will be in your hands, my children, to keep this balance even, that it does not completely go over to the left side, and you will lose your vicar, our child, John Paul II. He has many enemies, as you, my child, know full well, that in any mission from heaven, there will be enemies of God. I ask you, my children, to pray for your vicar. Pray for him, and in your acts of charity, give all to your vicar, that he may remain upon this earth. There is a plan, a terrible plan, my child, being developed this evening to remove the Pope, our child, Pope John Paul II, from among you. Pray, my children, a constant vigilance of prayer. Have these prayers going from one part of your country to the other. Have these prayers look to heaven. All acts of mercy for the Eternal Father shall be gathered also for his reparation. Oh, my children, if only you could understand my grieving heart. I have heard words of Immaculate Heart as it is passed among my children. I accept all that the Father would give me in suffering for the repatriation of souls upon earth. I have come this evening, my children and my child, specifically to warn you of the vast danger that the United States of America and Canada are approaching. The enemies now are gathered from within. I say also, my children, that this also will caution those who live near the waters of the great seas. There is danger ahead for invasion. Oh, my children, pray, pray, a constant vigilance of prayer. Wars are a punishment for man's sin. Oh, I see Our Lady is pointing to the sky and her right, our left, and there is forming a cross, a crucifix. It's iron, an iron cross. Oh, I don't know. It has a very dominating, serious aspect to that cross. I never saw one like it before. But now the cross is fading away, and then there is a chalice. This is at the statue of Our Lady. If you look up, perhaps you can see it over to the left, beyond the first tree. There's a chalice. It looks like it's made of pure gold. And this chalice now is dripping. Oh, my, oh, what's coming forth from the chalice is blood. Our Lady knows that this has given me a terrible inner shock. Our Lady places now her fingers, first fingers to her lips. My child, you will understand, it is the blood of the victim's souls, who will give all for their Pope, John Paul II. I repeat for the third time this evening that you must pray a constant vigilance of prayer that the enemy, does not cause your country and the other nations of the world destruction such as has never been seen from the beginning of creation and never will come forth and be practiced again when most men are removed from an earth that has been devastated from the hands of mankind. Mankind goes about now gathering all measures for warfare, gathering all instruments of war for warfare. Oh, my child and my children, do you not understand why I have come here for countless years upon earth trying to counsel and warn you that the end is near at hand? My child, I gave you at our last meeting the second secret. Now the third I will give unto you. You will listen well, but not speak of it. You will obtain 6 photographs. Read them well, but you must not speak one word of what you see. Oh, my child, there is so much that I want to tell you to pass on to our children of the world, that there will be a great message given to you all from my son Jesus and the eternal Father in the spirit of life, the Holy Ghost, my child. You will now sit back, my child, and contemplate on the mysteries within the photographs, and I will be back again with my son. They're like, almost like a chandelier is made, these lights this evening. They're almost like the prisms I spoke of the last time my lady came to us. And actually, they're cascading upward. It's beautiful. It's a whole sky of light. But the light is beyond anything that I could put into words. The light is crystal clear, beautiful, bright, brilliant, that if you looked into it too long without heaven's grace giving to you, I'm certain it would burn your eyes. It's so intense. But now the trees are starting to burst forth with a color of pink. It's a pink color, the most gorgeous pink. There's no way, I don't think anyone has been able to put down in color the beautiful colors that Jesus has assumed to let us know when he's coming. Now, just above the trees, I see the sky is opening up now. It's a beautiful color blue. And, oh, Jesus is coming down now. He's floating quite fast. He doesn't walk, he floats. And he's standing now just above a statue about 16 or 20 feet. And he's looking all about him. Now, Our Lady is coming down also from the same circle of light, and she's coming over to Jesus' right side. Now, Our Lady looks very petite, and I do notice now, when she first came this evening, she didn't have on the crown. But now Our Lady has on the beautiful Fatima crown. It comes over her mantle. The mantle is blowing in the wind now, and Our Lady is looking all about her with a smile. She seems to be pleased. And yet in Our Lady's face there is a picture of, I could only explain it, a sadness that she has absorbed, and a beauty that she is trying to give out to mankind, even though she knows from Jesus all that is transpiring upon earth. Now Jesus is motioning, he's nodding to our Blessed Mother, and she's just standing there now with her hands together like this, and the prayer beads, her beautiful rosary is strung in her fingers, and Our Lady is standing there. She almost looks like a statue now, and she has motioned there, nodded with her head to Jesus, and he's looking all about him. Now Jesus and Our Lady are moving over to our left side above the trees. That would be their right side. And Jesus is extending his hand out like this and making the sign of the cross. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now Jesus is turning to his left, and he's floating above the statue and over to our right side, his left side. Our Lady is right behind him. They don't walk. There's no way I can explain it. They're weightless up there. It's really something that makes you think, you know, how we're all going to assume a similar type of spirit as Our Lady and Jesus when we're taking from the earth. Of course, we'll never be the stage of beauty that Our Lady has and also that Jesus has. It flows from them, the love and feeling of such warmth when you see them, that actually there's no fear or dread of going over the veil. It's something that is a part of life of all of us human beings, Our Lady has said. We will all go over the veil and see and feel just as Our Lady feels at this moment, she said, when we see the Beatific Father. And or if we're not that fortunate, perhaps we will meet Jesus, the second person in the Blessed Trinity. Now Jesus is touching his first finger to his lips. That means to, you know, be quiet and wait now for his instructions. Now Jesus is nodding, because he said, you accept this well, my child. And he now is turning to his left side and floating over by the trees. And he's extending his hand out like this and making the sign of the cross in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now Jesus is coming back slowly across the sky. He's looking all about him. He looks very tranquil, you know, like Our Lady and I. We both get very excited, but Jesus has a tranquility about him. And also, I think you would like to know, when Our Lady speaks through me, her lips are moving. But when Jesus speaks, it seems to come from within him with no need to move his lips. It just comes from within and comes inside of you. I can't explain it any other way. Now Jesus is stopping again just over the statue of about 15 feet above with Our Lady at his right side. And he's extending his hand out and making the sign of the cross in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now he's touching his lips. My child and my children, many have accepted the message from heaven at this time, but there are many more of my sheep who have not received the knowledge of our coming here to the sacred grounds. You will all be sure to keep the message going out as fast as is humanly possible and within your means from prayer and dedication. My child and my children, your country is now in a terrible state. As I gave you the photographs with the plucked eagle, you can well imagine that the eagle representing the United States looks like it has drawn its last breath. Oh, my child and my children, how often I have had to use symbolism to approach you. But I give you the reason now. Much was to be remain in secret until told to come forth at the present time. No, my child, those pictures I gave you, they are to be deciphered and not made known until my mother or I tell you to. You understand that, my child? Yes. If you do release what is in those photographs, my child, you will bring much unnecessary torment to yourself. My mother has directed you well through this stage of man's progressing toward sanctity. However, you must remember this. Words were given and actions have taken place. Our Lady told you several years ago that there would be great floods, and there were great floods, that there would be a great heat, and that will come soon. And after that, there will be a great plague. You've had a plague now, my children. Two diseases unknown in cure for mankind. Did not my mother pass along to you that knowledge that there would be diseases that your scientists will not be able to explain nor stop? They will find no cure for it. Now, my children, I tell you this. I do not wish to come to you as a visitor with dire warnings. But it is the object of my coming is to warn you that you may do something and correct the evil that has been perpetrated by the few. There will be one more most devastating plague upon you. That will come within the next 6 months, my children. You ask, my child, why is this allowed? My child, you have forgotten the real reason for all this. Man will benefit from it in the end. For I once said to you many years ago that penance is difficult, but after penance there is a great joy. There are many things that cannot be understood because of a man's human nature, but that you must trust in God the Father and listen to the words my mother brings to you and the dire warnings of what is to come upon mankind. Do not accept it lightly or with derision. For the answer will be given to you, and you will still not know that this has come to you from the Eternal Father as a measure of penance. All mankind will be tested before the great day of my return. There will be floods taking many lives. There will be famine, and many will die. And there will be the great heat, and many will die. My child, I know you are affrighted at my words, but our purpose is to save you. Many are not listening, and others have not received the message from heaven. Therefore, we will be living, my children and my child, by a time clock. And there is only one grain remaining to go through the hourglass. My child and my children, I beg of you, through the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and I am in God, I was in God, and I always will be in God. Even those children who cast aside my warnings and laugh in derision, they will learn too late to save their souls. All who have come to the sacred grounds have come with reason. The Eternal Father has a plan, and everyone who comes to the sacred grounds has been called there by the Father. I also must tell you, my child, to tell the world of the coming second part of the plague. The first you must remain secret with for a while, my child. I will tell you there will be a slight plague of rats. Do not be affrighted, my child. This plague will be kept within only the eastern area. Oh, my child and my children, the response this evening is greatly appreciated and loved by heaven. As long as there is one man who will come forth and tell the world of the mission from heaven, the world can be saved from complete extinction. Armaments are being made to destroy mankind. The more armaments that are made, the less chance there will be for salvation. Not the salvation of the soul, but the salvation, the keeping of the bodies. For bodies will be burned upon earth, burned to a crisp. Many shall see death as they have never seen it before. Is this what you want, my children? Your brothers and sisters of good will hold forth their hearts to you. Do not slam their door in their faces, for you will cry bitter tears if you lose this chance to be among those who call themselves faithful and true. My child and my children, continue your prayers of atonement. There is much more that must be said soon, my child, but the three photographs will remain hidden, the meanings, just for this time being, my child. You will speak of it to no one. Now Jesus is placing his hand out like this. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Oh, Jesus is touching his cape. I don't believe that I described his cape, and Jesus does wish that everything be made open to mankind, the knowledge of heaven. Jesus has on a beige gown. It's very long and very loose, and he has like a leather type of band about his waist. And Jesus has on brown, they look like leather sandals. I don't know what they used in Jesus' time, but they look like they were made from some kind of a skin. They're like a thong type of a shoe. They're brown. And now Jesus has on not a mantle, it's a cape. It's not like Our Lady's mantle. It's a cape tied at the neck with a golden piece of cording he has. And then there's also a headpiece like the monks wear. But Jesus has that down now. It's just falling on his back and held there by the gold pieces of cording. And Jesus is nodding yes. I've often heard what does Jesus look like? Well, there's no words I could use to explain what Jesus looks like. He's got the most beautiful face. That's what this joins me with him in the knowledge that Our Lady has given to me, through Our Lady, with Jesus' knowing, that he has on a very silky type of cape this evening. And it's blowing in the wind, so it's much lighter than the burgundy cape he had been wearing in the past months. I would think it would be to assume the seasons in his clothing. That makes me feel also the human nature of Jesus is so like our own that it really makes it easier for you to approach and talk with him, because he is human as can be. Whereas St. Teresa and Padre Pio and all others who came to us in the past years, they had a fragile look about them where you could almost see they were transparent. But Jesus and Our Lady have never been transparent. They are solid as you and I. But true humans, that's the only way I can explain it. And of course, that makes you feel very good in your heart, because you know you can speak to them, because they're not beyond your reach. All you have to do, Our Lady says, is to lift your eyes to heaven and ask, and you shall receive. Pray, and you're heard. You are heard. If you ever wonder why your wish was not granted, you must understand that heaven, Our Lady says, knows just what is in store for your future. And if you don't get what you want, you'll find at the end of a certain period in your life that it would have been the worst thing that could have happened to you. For Jesus and Our Lady are guiding you, every one of you, as long as you stay within the light. Our Lady now is pointing to her lips. I have one thing to say, my child. I grieve in my mother's heart for my son, for they are defiling the Eucharist. My child, make this known to mankind that there are so many offenses to my son's immaculate heart that I as a mother grieve too for him. Now, my child and my children, you will continue with your prayers of atonement. They are most sorely needed.